I want to read an illustration. I've told you before that God deals in my heart in many ways. I've stood in a funeral home before and looked at a plaque on the wall, and God given me a message from what I was reading. I've laid alongside of a log reading the New Testament in the woods, and God give me a thought and give me a message. I can remember where I was laying when the Lord dealt with my heart about an unchangeable priesthood out of the book of Hebrews. And I was reading, and that's not my favorite pastime, but I was reading and I read an illustration. And I want to read that illustration to you. And then I went to the Word of God. The preacher that I was reading after used this in a message, but it was nothing like how that the Lord dealt in my heart when I read this illustration. And you'll understand, hopefully, more a little later in the message. It said, the story goes like this. It's a true story. One day a preacher who had just lost his family in a tragic fire. It seems like that we're living in a day that many believe that, why, if you serve the Lord, love the Lord, why, you can just skate on through life and you don't have many troubles and many trials and many tribulations. But here's a man of God that was lost his family. By the way, have you read the book of Job? The Bible said, or this illustration said about the man that he lost his family in a fire, and he had fallen into the depths of deep and dark depression. Some might say, well, what in the world is a man of God doing there? I'm going to tell you what. You, my friend, will understand one day that all the days are not mountaintops. There are some deep valleys in this walk of life. Brother Joe, I believe God had you to sing that song. I listened to that third verse about those valleys and those dark days in our lives. The illustration said this then. He said he was in depression. He was walking down a city street. Let me try to just read it and get to it. There he came upon a construction crew that was erecting or building a new church. And he stopped to watch them as they worked. And as he watched, he observed a worker who was busy carving a triangle out of stone with a chisel and a hammer. Stepping closer, he asked the stone cutter what he was carving. The worker pointed to the steeple up at the top of the church. And here's what he said. He said, do you see that small opening up there near the steeple? He said, well, I am carving this stone down here so that it will fit in up there. Glory to God. Listen to what the preacher said. He was immediately stirred in his heart, and he realized anew the faithfulness of God. And he came to understand that the valley that he was in at that moment was God's way of carving him down here that he might fit in up there. I'll tell you, God is always on time. But if I could have had my way, I would have read this at the beginning of last week and not at the end of last week. So that when I was going to the funeral home and being with people that were burying their loved ones and praying for people that buried loved ones last week and going to the ICU and reading the text messages and getting the phone calls and have a list of prayer requests this week that's that long. I am not exaggerating. I tell you, I wish I could have just understood at the beginning of last week, Lord, you're in the carving business. And my friend, he's making us down here so that we'll fit in over there. That's what he's a doing. He's a chiseling in your life, and he's chiseling in my life. By the way, he is the potter, and we are the clay. I read this illustration, and immediately I didn't know exactly where the text was. But I can do a little research. So I did a little research. I said, Lord, it seems to me like there's a place in the Bible where they were building the temple. And I could remember that Solomon was instructed, don't you come in there with the hammers and don't you come in there with the chisels. You take care of that down there in the quarry. You take care of that out there in the forest. And when you bring them in, they'll be perfect. They'll fit together. Glory to God. God is perfecting His people. He's perfecting His people. And when we get home, we are going to fit. I tell you what, if you've ever built anything, amen, I don't like to anymore. I'm just being honest. I believe I've developed actually some allergies to lacquers and glues and different things. I get sick when I get around them, amen. I believe God wants me to stay busy the rest of my life doing something else. But I used to build cabinets. And I tell you what a joy it is to be able to see and to be able to measure and go over there at the saw and cut a piece and carry it over here. And it fit just right. I'll tell you, I've learned this in my life. The days of fitting just right are over. I can miss it enough with a tape measure, miss it enough with a pencil, miss it enough, amen, with a saw blade. It just don't fit like it used to. But glory to God. One day, this old boy is going to fit where God is preparing him to go. And I'm going to fit just right in the city of God. So, Lord, help me. Help me to have a different attitude when the chisel comes in my life. Help me to have a different attitude when the valleys come in my life. Help me to understand, Lord, that the Bible is still right when you said all things, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We live in a world that's filled with people just like this man, people whose lives are in depression, despondency, despair, and defeat. Many people through the ages, famous people, have wrestled with these, my friends, symptoms of the valley. George Washington did. Martin Luther did. Charles Spurgeon did. Sometimes we've heard the old statement, when it rains, it pours. How many has experienced that in your family? When it rains, it pours. I want you to know this morning, I want God to help us to see several things in this illustration. I don't know that I've ever preached like this before in my life, but I'm going to go back in this illustration and show you some things and back it up with Scripture. Back it up with Scripture, that the way that the Lord spoke to my heart about it. The Bible said here in 1 Kings 5:17, the king commanded they brought great stones, costly stones. Can I say something about the costly stones? Jesus paid it all. He's bought these stones, amen. He's bought these stones and He can chisel these stones and these stones will fit one day after a while. I want you to think about the Bible said in verse 18 of 1 Kings 5, and Solomon's builders and Hiram's builder did hew them and the stone squarers so that they prepared timber and stones to build the house. But the Bible said there was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. In other words, I'm still here. That tells me something. The stone's not squared up just right yet. The little children sing the song, and it is one of my favorites. I believe the adults ought to sing it. He's still working on me. Thank God for the chisel of the Word of God. I think sometimes a lot of men wouldn't admit it, but sometimes I get down. And one of the things that helps me when I'm down is I think about those that are praying for me. And I think about those that need us, amen. I think about those that love us. I think about those that, my friend, are still walking in sin that need somebody to carry them the gospel. I think about a man like that 87-year-old man yesterday, unsaved and seemingly unconcerned. But there's a God in heaven that can visit him in the middle of the night and shake him to his very soul in his bed. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. I told him yesterday, I said, my greatest concern is not that you get in our church, My greatest concern is that when I roll up here at this stop sign and look across the road and there's a wreath hanging on that door, is to know that you've gone to a better place. God wants to help us. Let's look at some things here in this message. I had part of this in the introduction. I believe that's another message for another day. It seemed fascinating to me. The Bible fascinates me. I just give you this little bit, and we'll study it another time. But when God wanted the altar built, He didn't want stones that were cut. When He wanted the house of God built, He wanted them cut and He wanted them fit. But He said, I don't want you to lift the hammer. I don't want you to lift the chisel. And there's a great lesson in that. Amen. In building the altar. He didn't want man fooling with that. The altar wasn't supposed to be a pretty sight. The sacrifice, amen, was bloody, is bloody. It will forever be a bloody sacrifice that buys men's ticket into heaven. Amen. Let me give you something this morning. I want you to think about this. This is how the Lord dealt with my heart. As we think about God chiseling on us down here, carving the stone down here so that we will fit in up there. Let me give you five things quickly. I'll no way preach all this out. We'd be here till 2 o'clock if I preached all this out. But I want to give you some things that I believe will be a help to you. First thing I want you to see as I go back and look at that, this illustration here. He stopped to watch them and the worker was busy carving. And the worker said, do you see that small opening? There was an opening up there. You might think this preacher's crazy. But I'll tell you how the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. There's an opening up there. There's an opening up there for my children. There's an opening up there, Brother Lance, for Warner. There's an opening up there for my grandchildren. There's an opening up there for that 87-year-old man that's lived this long and does not. You say, preacher, how can you emphatically say there's an opening up there? I'll tell you how I can say it. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm telling you, there's an opening up there for every sinner. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me give you this. Not only is there an opening up there, I tell you, if you see my notes, I'm not preaching it all out. I'm going to give it to you this morning because I believe we need it. I know it helped me. And I found out in life if something helps me, it'll probably help God's people too. Amen. You never know this week when your phone will go off. Amen. It'll be your loved one with a blood clot. It'll be your loved one in a car wreck. It'll be your loved one laying there in the ICU. You never know when it's going to be you, when it's going to be me. But what we can know is that the God of heaven loves you and I. The old devil will jump up on our back and on our shoulder and say, what in the world's going on? If He loves you, I tell you what's going on. He's in the carving business and He's making us like His Son that we might fit in up there. I see the opening. I don't see this in the illustration, but if you're a builder, you've got to know that in order for that man to make something fit in that opening, there had to be a time when he was up there close to that opening. Amen. Is anybody following me? Amen. I don't know exactly how they did it, but I see a pattern. There must be a pattern, amen? Listen, I want you to know that Jesus came down here from the opening. And He is our pattern, amen? The Lord is making us like unto Him. The Bible said when He comes, I don't know what I'll be, but I know I'll be like Him, for I'll see Him as He is. So I don't know. I don't think, but I don't know. I don't know if that man was on a ladder, if he was on a scaffold. I doubt very seriously if they had cranes back then. They did have engines. You can read it in the Bible, amen. But it was different than what we're talking about when we talk about an engine today. It was, my friend, really a miracle that they could move the stones and the timbers the way that they did, but they did. I don't know how that man down there measured that hole up there, but some way or another he measured it. How many carpenters in the room? How many's ever done any little carpenter work? Have you ever been without a tape measure? Well, you say, preacher, what if you ain't got a tape measure? Well, I might just go over there in the corner. You ever done this, Brother John? Stick something up against the corner, put your thumb right there. You ever done that? I don't know how that man measured that hole. I don't know if he had some sticks and got up there and put him a little notch right here, but I know this. He was down here knowing what needed to be done that stone might fit in up there. I want you to know this morning, my friend, that there's a pattern. I used to work in a machine shop and in a welding shop, and we had what we called a pattern torch. And you would make your pattern out of thin steel, and you would need to grind the edges. It would need to be precise. It would need to be exact. It couldn't be rough. And there was a little magnetic wheel that rolled around the pattern up here, and it was cutting this shape out of a piece of steel down here. He said, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, the pattern was used over and over and over and over to make something, my friend, sometimes 4, 5, 6 inches thick out of steel down here. The torch would cut it out. Many people today don't use a pattern torch because we've come so far in technology that you can just type the image into a computer and the computer will tell the torch what to do. And I want you to know, you and I have a pattern in heaven, and God is not finished until he chisels us out just like the pattern that we might fit in up there. I don't know about you. That blesses me. I cannot think of anybody anywhere that I would rather be like than Jesus. You say, well, I can. Then I'm not sure you've ever met my Jesus. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. I see the opening. Paul said, howbeit for this time, I see the pattern. For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Bible said in Hebrews 8, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. By the way, you take a person that's being a good Christian, and it'll be because they're staying close to the good pattern. God has given us His Word, and in His Word we find out how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to move, how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to walk in the Word of God. I see in the illustration not only an opening, I see that there had to be a pattern, but then thirdly, I see that there was a builder. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, there's the man that is there with the chisel and with the hammer working on the stone. He's working on the stone. He is making it fit. He no doubt was taking his time. He no doubt, listen to me, some people, listen, they're not really concerned about it because it's way up there. I'm going to tell you something right now. Heaven may not be as far away as we think it is. Some of us may be there before the sun goes down today. We ought to be concerned about the pattern that God has for our life. And the builder, the Savior. Jesus said this, I say unto these, talking to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say to you this morning, there's an opening, there's a pattern, but thank God there's somebody working on that building. And Jesus said, that's my church, and I'm going to work on it. I'm going to carve on it. It's going to fit just right when I get it home. And all these things that are happening in life are part of a plan. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, that's how you keep your sanity, is to know there's somebody bigger than you and bigger than me in charge in our lives. Somebody that loves you. Somebody that loves me. Are there valleys? Yes. Are they dark? Yes. Are there days of depression? Yes. Brother Joe, I'm not just saying this, but as far as I know, you're one of the finest Christian men I've ever met in this world. But can I ask a fine Christian man, are there some dark days? Are there some days? Yes, there is. I know there is. I could tell in your voice when you talked about you used to go down with my wife to South Texas. Amen. Yes, Brother Gale. That doesn't mean we're not good Christians, but what it does mean is we're being honest with folk and being honest with ourselves and just understanding and realizing that the Master Builder, the Savior, is still working in our lives and He'll get us home one day after a while and set us in the city and we'll fit just right. Just right. Just right. Just right. Just right. I was in a funeral home the other day. I can't remember where it was at now, which one. But I made the comment. Somebody put up trim work, crown mold. But Brother John, they cheated. In every one of the corners, they had one of them things where you just run in square. And they didn't just do it in the corners. Everywhere, every 16 foot, that's as long as you could get the mold, and there was another one of them things. Why, anybody can plug a piece of crown mold into that. And it white, they probably had to caulk that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Please hear me. Just anybody can't plug you into heaven. Brother John and Sister Kathy loves them boys. And their pastor does too. Max and Miles. John ain't getting all the sugar. I'm going to get all of it I can between here and heaven. But as bad as John would like to plug them in and make them fit, he can't do it. My grandchildren, as bad as I would like to plug them in and make them fit, I can't do it. That takes the Savior. That takes the one that said upon this rock, Paul, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That takes the Lord Jesus to plug them into the city of God and make them fit in glory. I see the builder. There's more under that. But I'm going to move on. Then I see the stone in the building. The Bible said, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 2 Corinthians 5:1 said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. He also, 1 Peter 5, as lively stones, that's living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. How many's glad God's still in the building program? God is still. I would to God that some way we could get back to it, but I do have little faith. Where it would be in the days like it was in the early church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. By the way, I am going to say this. I don't believe that's the Lord's fault. Amen. Amen. We need to devote attention to what God's doing in our lives and in the lives of others. I see the stone in the building, and then I'm going to give you this, and I'm closing. In this illustration here, I'm not going to read it all again, but the man had a hammer, and the man had a chisel. The Bible said, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, is not thy word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You say, preacher, I went last week to have some dental work done. And I reckon the man asked me, he said, were you ever in the military? I said, no. He said, well, I'll guarantee you the dentist that put that filling in there was in the military. He said, that thing's got steel pins in it. And I thought he was going to have to go down here at East Tennessee Rental and rent him a jackhammer. I felt like I'd swallowed a watermelon. 2 hours with your mouth wide open, that woman said, don't bite me. I said, I'm numb. I don't know what I'm doing. They drilled and they drilled and they drilled and they drilled. Boy, God's given me something good right here. I remember when the dentist got done with that drilling. Then they had to do something called a build-up to put on a crown. When he done that, he got that build-up shape. He said, my part's done. And I wanted to tell him, I'm glad. Because that young lady that helped me after that was a whole lot nicer than he was. Her tools were a whole lot more polite than his were. Well, here's what I want to say to you. The chisel's not pleasant. When the Lord's using a hammer and using a chisel in our lives, it's not pleasant. But here's what you say, preacher, why did you go up there and go all through all that if it's not pleasant? Listen to me carefully right here. I believe the Lord's giving me a little bit of something here as we go along. Here's why. Because it'll be better in the long run. You know what we need to do? We need to get it in our heads and in our hearts that whatever it is God's doing in our life, it's going to be better in the long run. He's chiseling. He's working in our lives and in our hearts. He's making us. By the way, predestination. Let me just give you something right here. I'm not going to go off into it, but it does not even apply to a sinner man. Predestination is a doctrine taught in the Word of God that applies to God's youngins, God's children. And when we get saved by the grace of God, we are predestinated. It's going to happen. We're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Sometimes that takes a hammer. Sometimes that takes a chisel. I don't know about you, but the next time I lean over that bed, talk to Brother Fred, that's going to help me. Just to know, Brother Johnny, Lord, I don't know what you're up to, but I know this. He's going to fit. Brother Brian, I think Wednesday night talked about Miss Sue. I've said this for years. I believe sometimes it's harder on the spouse than it is the one going through it. But she's going to fit. God, I don't know how. I don't know why. But I know that God is going to see to it that they fit just right in the city of God. people in this room, some have diabetes. Some have arthritis. Brother Joe got up and sung a song. I believe there's a reason God left that open-ended with Paul. He wanted us to know that whatever we're going through, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. We were over there yesterday in the fellowship hall, and you think about this. Somebody said to me, look at all these kids, preacher. They said, this would be a youth group all by itself. But God only knows what them youngins is going to face. But I tell you what we need to do. We need to teach them that even though God's chisel hurts sometimes, and even though we don't understand sometimes, we can still trust Him. Brother Rose talked about that preacher, no doubt, giving his life to the gospel. He's even turning colors now as the cancer eats up his body. Brother J.W., you can't know that man of God without loving him. He's precious. But what we need to understand is he's going to fit. He's going to fit. He's going to fit. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your family's going through, but I know this. There are many families in this church walking in some deep, dark valleys. But just understand that God is at work. The Bible said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Joseph. All he did was tell them what God showed him. And they got jealous. Sold him into slavery. God said, boy, I've got a chisel. I ain't done with you. He goes down there to Potiphar's house. Boy, I'm glad I got that over with. Now I got everything going good. Down there in Potiphar's house, he's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. But God still has a chisel. God was working on him. God was fixing to exalt him. Joseph, no doubt, didn't understand all that about that dream and all that. But I tell you what God did. John the Baptist, Job, John the Revelator, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. God's got his chisel out. But I tell you what, I'm glad we have the book of Revelation, aren't you? God was giving it to us through a man that was willing to be carved by the God of heaven. The Apostle Paul, even men like Moses in the Word of God, men like David, men like Daniel, precious men of God that stayed under the chisel, stayed under the hammer, but God was seeing to it that they were going to fit perfectly in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you this morning, but that's going to help me this week to understand that whatever it is, Lord, you're still working. Sometimes, Sister Sonia, it wasn't that ma'am needed much more work done on her, but there's people standing around the bed watching her struggle. Stop breathing for 10, 15, 20 seconds at a time. See, God's not only chiseling on the one that's going through it, but He's chiseling on those that are standing around watching it. Some people in life, seemingly, Brother Larry, you've pastored for years. Seemingly, their crossing is easy, an instant. And others, you seem to suffer and suffer and suffer. But if we get a hold of this message and always remember, He's working on us down here so we'll fit in over there. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible, the privilege, Lord, to read this illustration, how you've stirred our hearts in the days of Solomon. Lord, you didn't want that noise. You didn't want that work going on there at the temple site. And our Father, when we get to heaven, there won't be any work going on there. It'll just be worship, because the work will be done. The work will be finished. Lord, you're working on us down here so that we might fit in over there. And I praise you, Father, for that. I praise you, Lord, that bless your name. That, Lord, even when we can't track you, when we don't know what you're up to, we can trust you by faith. We can walk with you and talk with you, knowing, Lord, that you know what's best.